Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Calling Tau City, turn on your radio. I know we had some words last time, but that was so long ago. I got your message. It was a little harsh, you know. It's still a little hard for me to hear. Please take it slow.
Welcome to Starship Sofa, part of the District of Wonders network. Everyone has a story in the District of Wonders. Come and find yours.
I'm tuning in to your transmissions. I'm rooting, waiting to be found. And I'm building rockets. I'm pointing them to the moon.
This is the Starship Sofa. Everybody, welcome. Hello and welcome to... Sure. It's the ramble again, I'm afraid. Yes, we're going to talk about, again, the metaverse. So sit back and enjoy. So hello everyone, welcome to the Starship Sofa's Ramble. And again, apologies if you want a story, but at the moment we're just sticking to the two of Fortnite. But I thought today, and again, don't get us wrong, I won't be doing these all the time, but this metaverse is swirling around in my head. And I thought I'd just again drop some thoughts on how I think it might go, when I think it might come into being, and just little things like that, and what can we expect from the metaverse, you know what I mean? So, as you know, I was been reading and I finished The Rainbow's End by Vernor Vinge and absolutely loved it, you know what I mean? I couldn't remember really a single damn thing about it from the first time, but it is definitely a novel if you haven't read it. That grounds you. That book just tells you and lays it out how, and I think it hits it so close to the mark. What my interpretations after reading this book, you know, and what I've done, the little bit of research I've done into this area, you know, I mean, Vernor Vinge, when that came out, you know, he's hit a home run there. So, you know, as soon as I finished Rainbow's End, I jumped into Snow Crash, Neal Stephenson. And again, I've read this when we did the Hugo Award, you know, book off, when myself and Kieran did those two, the four books I think there was in that collection that was, you know, up for the Hugo Award. I'm not sure when it was, somewhere around the 2009, possibly, maybe even a little bit earlier. Probably, yeah, it would have been a little bit earlier. It might have been 2006, 2007 when we did that. And Snow Crash is, in one respect, you know, almost identical, but it's totally different, if you know what I mean. There's two strains, I think, for me, for this metaverse coming. And both those books capture exactly one strain of this metaverse that we're fast approaching. Snow Crash is very much the metaverse. You know, like I say, it coined the term. It's, you know, the whole thing is you put goggles on, you're in this submersive world. Whereas Rainbow's End end is the other strain of the metaverse. It's the augmented reality. You're wearing like lenses, and what's happening around you in the everyday life is, you know, the augmented metaverse. You know, you're walking down the street, a bit like, if anyone's, what's make my camera shutting off there, a bit like, you know, Ryan Reynolds' new film Free Guy, you know, where they slip the glasses on and the world's built around your world. And Snow Crash, like I say, is the virtual where you go into a different world. And I think that is the two pillars of what's fast approaching, you know. And like I say, they'll work in tandem, but this is my take on it. And I think we're talking as little as 5 years to get to the point where it's the infrastructure and everything's built, you know, the hardware we need to enter the metaverse, to kind of walk around in the augmented reality. 5 years. I watched this great interview with Zuckerberg, would you believe? And, you know, he's, for all his faults, you know, I don't like the actual company and what, but he's got his head screwed on where he knows where he wants to take this company and how he's going to get there, and the amount of money they've spent. In, you know, they've been doing it for 7 years, getting this train moving to think, you know, like a super tanker. It takes a long time to turn a corner. And it's a bit like, you know, I guess that with a big company, it's took them a while to get, but now it's, you know, they're at the stage where they've changed the name to Meta. The hardware's coming, the infrastructure, the software's coming. And he thinks 5 years. And that's the general rule of thumb. You know, all it'll take is Apple to come with some kind of cool, fancy glasses, and they'll be adopted by the mainstream. And people are thinking, you know, and technology at the moment is not there for the, you know, the, in the augmented world where they slip the lens into your eye, you know, and it all works from just a lens, but certainly from glasses, you know. And Zuckerberg made a great point. He says, if he'd designed the phone, it would have been different. But he says someone, you know, got to jump on us, and he's obviously referring to Steve Jobs. And what he was saying is the phone, as it stands now, is very limited. You know, it's halting the progress because everything has gone through the phone, where there's going to be what he calls like a paradigm shift, where it's going to leave your phone and become into the real world, you know, the augmented reality and the metaverse. And you can see where he's going, you know what I mean? You can see what's happening. And with these, like say, the two books that I've consumed there, I listened to Snow Crash in, you know, the fast speed as well, 1.2 speed for us. It's coming, you know, and you can see where it's coming. And let's just give an example, you know. And there's a lot of things, I think, before I just get in the example, are going to force we're into this rush forward. You know, there's this, we're talking about the climate change. Technology is going to get better, so it doesn't use as much, you know, energy. And then we've got the problem of travel, the problem of, you know, getting to places. Everything is shouting for this infrastructure to come into being. Let's just say, you know, you've got your phone there now, and on your phone, and I can sit in my little house and have a look around the London Museum. Now, the metaverse comes along, you know, with the goggles, and it's a totally different experience. I can go there and I can interact with this virtual world. And we're not just talking about the goggles, you know, they are getting together and getting the haptic, the touch and the sensors. All the sensors are getting built into this metaverse. You know, people are developing different strains of companies are developing all this. So it's going to be fantastic. And imagine just being able to sit around, and if you're unable to go to, like, say, the London Museum or the Louvre in Paris, you know, and to have this virtual tour, and just walk around it and it be there all the time for you. You know, that's a fantastic experience, I think, for anyone, you know. And I was talking to one of my daughter's friends, and she would, you know, we're having this kind of discussion, should we say, about, you know, it. And my friend was saying that it's going too fast and we're going to lose the real world and you can't beat the real world. And that's a fantastic point. But me personally think it's going to enhance the real world. You know, myself, I live on the coast of northeast England, and very lucky I'll be able to take, with my wife, we take the dogs out, you know, and we can have a long walk along the coast, along the beaches. And we were walking the other day, and it was that night time where it was just, you know, it's the golden hour, I think it is, for camera, you know, round about just before it was starting to come dark. And as a lady walked right along the beach, right to the kind of seafront, and she just stood there looking out, you know, and I thought, you know, she's really getting the benefit of just, like, this is a great place to be, you know, a very calm and very meditative state for her. And she was just, like, standing there for ages, just soaking up this fantastic view. And you cannot beat that, but you can have a very close second where you can just, you know, put these goggles on, this almost therapy, and go there, and you will have the sounds, the touches, everything will be there. It's a close second, you know. I don't think you can get away from that. You know, it's a close second where you could just stand at this, you know, your favourite spot, you know, or a favourite place of a childhood, and just look back. You know, when I was kind of growing up, my father moved around a lot of times, and we were in all sorts of different properties and different business adventures, and there was one where we were in a little pub in the Lake District, and I always remember that part of my childhood, you know, like way more, a lot stronger emotions. Now, if I can just go back to that village now in virtual, or even back in time, you know, to like old photographs, and just be there, that's just an amazing thing. And but I think, you know, you can tell we're so close to it. You know, you've got fitness. Fitness is going to be massive industry in the virtual augmented reality. Yeah, we've got, you know, you can see we're so close to it. The likes of Peloton bikes, you know, those standalone little with a video screen on the top where you, that's all just going to become virtual, you know, and that would, I'm guessing that's going to be in the metaverse, you know, the goggles on, and you're just running along a nice country lane. It's that's not that far away, do you know what I mean? And like, I think industry is just driving it towards there, you know what I mean? You get your first innovators, like you say, Peloton, and then I think Zuckerberg was saying, you know, one of his biggest, you know, what he's noticing statistics from Facebook and from the Meta coming up is like people are choosing fitness apps inside his world there. And it's this caught him by surprise how big that industry is and how quick it's moving towards it, you know. And going back to another little reason why I think it's going to be so much of a benefit, I think, is I walk, you know, I've got the three dogs there and I walk them, you know, they need a few walks a day. And the first one is, it's now at the moment, it's dark, you know, it's dark when I go out. So I take the dogs out and I've got this certain path where I walk round. And I pass these cottages, like bungalows, little old folks' bungalows where specifically for the older, you know, the older generation there, to kind of to live out the twilight years. And there's always a window, you know, the curtains are open and it's dark. And I see this little lady sitting there by herself, you know, and I've had a couple of years there now, you know, it's something I kind of notice every time I go around. Because only certain times I go when it's dark is when I'm like at work at a certain time. And I just notice that. And the image I get every time is she's lonely. Now, she might not be, you know what I mean? She might be just quite happy there, you know, flicking on the daytime TV or the new early morning news and just having a cup of tea and just getting ready for the day and going out to see her friends. But that image has stayed with me of this lady, and it looks to me lonely. That's all I can, you know. And I'm the person, you know, especially with Starship Sofa, it's been like this since I started. You know, not many people around here where I do Starship Sofa know I do Starship Sofa. My friends, that kind of, are not bothered with science fiction, and not bothered with podcasts. I know Amy, you know, I'm gonna bring Amy into this because I think Amy is a great example. You know, Amy's my friend. I've known Amy longer as a friend than most marriages last, you know, statistically. Me and Amy have been friends together. We've seen each other, you know, since 2006, we've seen each other once. And it was at a convention in London. And in the grand scheme of things, it was a fleeting visit. We got a chance to sit down a couple of times, one in a group of people and one just together ourselves and chat. And then Amy was away, you know, doing talks, and I was just left. and that's it. But come the virtual time where we can just like get together and we could go into, say, an old American library and browse books, you know, and that would be just fantastic. And I think that is going to be such a benefit to mankind. Is I don't think we will be lonely again, you know. Yes, there's going to be the odd folk that is just a loner by degree, you know, he, she chooses that path. But loneliness could be one of these things that is totally, you know, almost, not eradicated, but almost, you know, we can just be there. And this discussion I had with my daughter's friend, she's lovely, Amy, you know, one of my friends as well, is we always have like a kind of a Sunday night movie night where our friends come round and we have a big meal and we watch a movie. Now, Ellie and my friend Amy, they're on their phones right through, the, you know, interacting with their friends. But Amy couldn't see that. That would be exactly what would happen in the virtual world, is you just have your friends there watching the movie, you know. So it's happening now, but you can't, or you're almost limited with your phone. There is going to be coming soon. Your phone will always be there to kind of power, I think, the devices. You know, at this moment, anyways, you know, technology is not that. We'll need some sort of power to use the glasses, because I don't think Apple, it has to look good. You know what I mean? And the bulky thickness of glasses is not going to do anything for Apple. So I think the hardware power is going to come from the phone, so you'll have to carry phones. But these glasses are coming. The glasses are coming from, you know, Zuckerberg, and they're in development now. Maybe, again, they're not the little lens that you put in your eye. That could be, 10 years away maybe, but certainly not, you know. And I think, personally, would I go for it? Of course I would. You know, I wear glasses now to see everything. Why would I not, you know, do that? But I think the elephant in the room, what I think is going to just drive this industry, you know, or is going to be at the forefront of this industry of like the metaverse and the augmented reality, unfortunately, it's the porn industry. I think that is going to be, you know, and we don't need to explain how that's going to work. It's just going, you know what I mean? That side of the industry is just going to soak this up and use every function imaginable, you know. Unfortunately, it's the perfect vehicle for the porn industry, you know. And it would work. There's no other way around it, you know what I mean? It's just the metaverse is basically designed, it's the blueprint for the porn industry. But we all have our little industries, you know what I mean? So I don't think I'll be going down that one. But that's, you can understand that is coming. Do you know what I mean? And like I say, the metaverse is coming. There's going to be two strands of it. There's going to be the metaverse, the goggles on, sitting in your home with your haptic touch. Yeah. And it, you know, you see TV programs almost take the mic where it's like haptic touch and there's a fan blowing wind and things. Everything will be subtle. Do you know what I mean? There'll be kind of little fans probably in their goggles that are just blowing a gentle breeze. We've got a virtual something around here. And I put it on. Oh, this was, it's probably under the bed. You know what I mean? It came, you got it free with a Galaxy phone. I remember about 4 years ago. And I've been in there in this world, and I was walking around a dinosaur with David Attenborough. You know what I mean? Once it gets a little bit more, like, say, touch and feel, and those other senses come into being, the actual virtual was, you know, the visual, sorry, was tremendous. It was just, you know, and Attenborough was there talking to us, you know, about this dinosaur, and this dinosaur was like, you know, when it comes where I could walk up to this dinosaur and stroke it, you know, that's going to be just, man, and get into, you know, a space shuttle, you know, have a walk around a space shuttle, have a walk around certain places in this virtual at the moment, you know what I mean? I've sat on I'll have to dig them out and have another go. I've sat on in a movie theatre that was the moon, and on the moon was a big movie screen, and I watched, I think it was a Netflix film, you know, if I can remember rightly. You imagine having all your friends there, and it's just a natural place to be, and it's just, you know, at the moment, like I say, 5 years, and that's what they're talking, 5 years for all this to come about, you know, to put on a pair of glasses or a visor and go into a meditative state and be on the top of the Himalayan mountains meditating. This is coming, and it's those two books have made me realise how it's going to be. You know, that they are like, say, two beasts of two different versions of the metaverse, but they're coming, you know. So if you can get a hold of Rainbow's End, I highly recommend it. And Snow Crash, I'm not saying it's dated, but we just take it for granted that the metaverse, how it works, you know. So there was a few, and it was only like, say, couple of pages really of how you put your glasses on, how it works, the metaverse, you know. Stevenson didn't kind of linger on that. So there's only that little bit at the very beginning, but then you're into the actual plot or the story of Hero and YT, and you'll love both of them. And another thought to mull over as well is your digital identity is going to be way more important than your physical identity. This is what they're saying as well. And I'm talking about, say, and this is where the shift's starting to come. Your virtual is going to be so important because we're all will be in the virtual. So your wealth status, your hip status, your cool status is all unsure, and you want people to see your status, you know what I mean? Your fancy avatars, you know, like these NFTs that are costing a fortune. This is where folks will get, you know, the buzz. You aren't able to at this moment to say walk around someone's house and have a look at their, you know, Picasso paintings or first editions of books or anything like that. But in the virtual world, in this digital world, we'll be able to see everything, and to have those things on show is going to be such a money maker, you know. So your virtual property, your identity is, this is what this whole NFT is not say banking on, because this is the way it's going. You know, I heard a story where there's these NFTs, non-fungible tokens, there's the holy grail of one is these crypto punks. And I think this one crypto punk, one out of the 10,000 this set was, I mean, they're all millions and millions and millions of pounds, but someone was offered, I think, £64 million for his, and he turned it down, and he said, it's too now part of who I am. And that, You know what I mean? To turn down that kind of money because this is who he is. This CryptoPunk is his identity. And yeah, you know, it's going to happen. You know, nowadays in this in the real world, you flex your Rolex watch. You know what I mean? Your Land Rover Discovery, or not Land Rover Discovery, until I'm not a car person. But you know what I mean? Your fancy sports cars, they're the things you flex. But we'll need the equivalent in the digital world. And the way prices are going for digital assets at the moment, it's just silly money, you know, because what's driving it is kids. And it doesn't feel like money, you know. And even I'm getting kind of swept up in the whole event, you know. I go to the corner shop and I'll pick up, say, 2 pints of milk, and because my local shop is just down the street, it's way more expensive than the supermarket, which is like 3 miles away. You grumble at that, but then you'll just go and buy an NFT, like a little picture, and you don't even grumble at the hundreds and hundreds of US dollars these cost. And this is a kind of a known thing. It's just money's no object, you know, because... And we're thinking, I bet you're thinking, oh, well, that's not going to happen. But it's not us. It's the kids that are going to, you know what I mean? It's the kids that are driving this. And you've noticed this now with kind of Fortnite. People will pay a fortune for a skin to make their avatar look good. My children's children, this is how they're going to work in the virtual, in the augmented, in the metaverse. It's going to be so important to kind of flex what they've got in digital assets way more than what they've got in the real world. Oh, dear me. And one final point just before I say goodbye and let you get back to your everyday humdrum mundane, you know, come join us in the metaverse because I'll be there singing and dancing. Digital currency is, if you're not into Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, and you know, you really have to kind of start thinking it's going to change. You know what I mean? We, I guess now, you know, you think it's digital now, you know, you kind of, you pay with your phone and everything like that. But cryptocurrency is coming, and you need to kind of, from a little bit of advice I can give you, is kind of just know how it works, you know, because there is a learning curve to kind of buying and purchasing and sending and keeping and everything. We need to kind of get up to speed on virtual. Because again, they're doing it now. You know what I mean? Everyone's, all big companies, Visa's in there, you know, PayPal's in there. Once Apple gets, you know, start doing it, it's, once we've getting that hurdle of the greener energy, it's going to just take off, you know. And if you're not kind of on board, you'll be left behind as well, you know. It's all I'm saying. Just do a little bit research. That's it. I'm not saying go out and buy anything, you know what I mean? I'm not a financial advisor. What I'm talking about here is for entertainment value only and shouldn't be taken with a pinch of salt. But start just looking into it, to how it works and everything like that, because that's going to be, you know what I mean, there's going to be a total paradigm shift with money. And the only people that are kind of bleating on about it, that are saying it's wrong, are the people that are going to lose out the old money that's invested in, you know, fiat currency. So, well, I hope you enjoyed this little ramble again. I enjoy it, you know what I mean? It's quite nice, but I don't mean to kind of sit down and take up too much time, but I hope you've enjoyed it. Until next time, I'd just like to say good night from me.
Thank you for listening.
I don't get out much. I've barely left the ground. I'm tuning into your transmissions. I'm moving, waiting to be found. And I'm building rockets. I'm pointing them to the moon. But the work is going slowly. It won't get to you anytime soon. Can you reach me? Is my by the time I get my say, I might already be on to you and on my way. But you're so far from here, and at best I'm moving slow. So I'm waiting on your call at home with nowhere to go. Can you reach me? Is my signal getting through? Turn on your radio. I wanna talk to you. I wanna talk to you. Myself on a radio wave, I might get to you someday. If books were rocket ships, I'd need only the will to fly. I'm still building word by word, and I'll get out there by and by. I'll get out there by and by. I'll get out there. I'll get out there by and by. I'll get out there by and by. I'll get out there.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.